And come with me to John's Gospel. We're going to be focusing this evening on John chapter 10, verses 1 through 6. But so that we can have context for John 10, we're going to back up and begin reading in John chapter 9. In fact, John 9, verse 35. Jesus has just healed a man born blind. And that, of course, is something to be celebrated. That Jesus should have demonstrated such an act of grace and really a sign of his messiahship, that the eyes of the blind should be open. We always welcome news of the transforming impact of Jesus on individual lives. However, when Jesus healed this particular blind individual, the religious leaders threw him out of the synagogue. And it's at that point we pick up in John 9, verse 35. Listen, here's God's word. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. That's God's word. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we hear now of these ones who heard the Savior speak and did not understand. And we come asking that you would be pleased to open our ears, that we would hear with understanding, that you would open our eyes, that we might see, that you would be pleased to use your word in our midst. And we ask that as you use your word in our midst, it would have the effect of unveiling the Lord Jesus and setting him before us so that we would see and with delight and joy recognize him as the good shepherd. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God speaking through the prophet Ezekiel says, "My sheep were scattered. They were scattered because there was no shepherd. They wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill." The sheep are scattered across the hillsides. During the summer, Trish and I were hiking in Ireland on the Sally Berays along the Antrim coast, and there on the hillsides we could see sheep, and off at a distance the sheep were going about their business. But as we hiked along, from time to time we came alongside individual sheep who were close beside the trail, so close to them that we could almost make eye contact. And of course, sheep, when they look at you, they always look sheepish. But you got some sense of that sheepish personality. Yes, off in the distance, they were remote and distant and almost inanimate. But when they get up close and in person, you begin to sense something of what makes them tick. There they are, and they're diligently rooting around, looking for grass that they can eat. They are keeping a watchful eye out for signs of danger or threat. And yes, they're also they're attuned to the movement of the rest of the flock, so that if their brothers and sisters and cousins start to move, they are ready to move along with them. John brings us up close with one of the sheep this evening. Ezekiel speaks about the sheep who are scattered, who are distant. They're off there in the hillside. John brings us face to face with one of those sheep. This blind man who has come before the religious leaders of his day. He's come before them as someone whose life was touched by the Lord Jesus. And as he encounters those shepherds, he is met with anger, with slander, with suspicion, with an abuse of power, and with rejection. And as we see that confrontation unfold in John chapter 9, we get a strong sense of just how important it is for individuals to be properly shepherded. And as John brings us face to face with that individual sheep at the end of John's Gospel, chapter 9, coming into chapter 10, he shows us the good shepherd who cares for the sheep. And there are many things that the passage has to teach us. But this evening, as we start out into John chapter 10, what we want to see is that genuine sheep recognize that the true shepherd. And as we go through our passage, we're going to see the shepherd being recognized in verses 1 through 3. The need to recognize the good shepherd. Verses 4 and 5, the need to respond to the good shepherd. And then verse 6, the need to receive the shepherd. So we want to think about those things. Recognizing the shepherd. In verses 1 through 3, and Jesus starts out as he addresses his hearers. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you." Now, that's a formula that John records in his gospel. It's not recorded by the other evangelists in their gospels. And every time John uses that formula from the lips of Jesus, it comes not as the introduction to something new. It follows on from what's gone before. In other words, as John records this situation in this way, he's linking John chapter 10 to John chapter 9. This man has been thrown out of the synagogue. He's gone to Jesus. Jesus has received him and welcomed him with open arms. And the Pharisees standing alongside and recognizing the encounter between this man and Jesus, they are offended. And it's at that point Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you." He's addressing the Pharisees. And as he addresses the Pharisees, he doesn't start out with a description of the good shepherd. He starts out, appropriately enough, with a description of the false shepherds. The shepherds who are masquerading as true shepherds, but who are not true shepherds and who are certainly not good shepherds, because they're the ones that pose a threat to the sheep. And Jesus invites us to look. Here is a call. Jesus is reminding us that we as the people of God need to be discerning. It's a call to discernment. And Jesus says in verse 1, "He who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber." Jesus said, suddenly you're confronted by someone who claims to be a shepherd. There he is right in front of you. He's inviting you to listen to what he has to say. He's inviting you to buy into the message that he's presenting. Yes, he's inviting you to give to his cause. He's inviting you to contribute to his program. And Jesus says, when that person presents himself to you, ask yourself, how did he or how did she get there? Did that person come in legitimately? Did that person come in through the door of the sheepfold? Or did that person climb up by some other way? And the imagery that Jesus is using, it's the idea of the sheepfold that has a wall around it. And in Jesus' day, that wall would sometimes have briars and thorns arranged along the top of it as a deterrent to predators, as a deterrent to thieves or sheep rustlers or whatever. And Jesus says, here you are, you're confronted by the individual posing as a shepherd. Where do they come from? How do they come to be standing in front of you? Did that person come legitimately? And that note of warning and that call for discernment that Jesus expresses in verse 1 of chapter 10. It's a note of caution and a call to discernment that's echoed throughout the New Testament. John, the evangelist, writing later on in 2 John verse 7, says, "Many deceivers have gone out into the world." He's writing about the first century, and what's true of the first century is certainly true of the century in which we live. There are many deceivers who have gone out into this world, many who are posing as shepherds and yet who are false shepherds. You're going to hear them addressing you over the airwaves. You're going to find them streaming on the internet. You're going to be able to purchase their books in your Christian bookstore. And Jesus challenges us to be discerning regarding those individuals. We've just come through a COVID pandemic when the most natural thing in the world seems to have been to go online and search out someone who's preaching. And Jesus says, be careful. Be careful who you listen to. Is that someone who has credible authority? What credentials does that person have? Because many deceivers have gone out into the world. That's why in a biblical church, in a biblical denomination, there are safeguards. Last Lord's Day, we had in our pulpit a man who is under care. He's in a process of having his gifts discerned by the church. He's under care of presbytery. The pastors and elders in presbytery are assessing his gifts and seeking to discern his call. And as people occupy godly pulpits, they come as those who have been screened and vetted, who are recognized as being legitimately called and having God-given gifts so that you and I can listen to them with a degree of confidence. And on a personal level, we're to always be careful regarding who we might listen to, because many deceivers have gone out into the world. Here's the Lord Jesus, the one who stands before this recently blind man, now healed, and Jesus stands before him as the one who, by the miracles of healing, who by his teaching, who by his fulfillment of prophecy, demonstrates that he is indeed the Messiah, that he is indeed the Good Shepherd, that he is indeed the one who is equipping apostles to go out and feed his sheep, and who entrusts to those apostles the mandate to pass on the testimony that has been given to them to faithful men. Remember Paul's words in 2 Timothy 2, verse 2, to pass them on to faithful men who will be able to teach others also, who will be good shepherds, properly credentialed, properly screened. Why is that important? Jesus says, those who climb up by another way, you're liable to find yourself dealing with thieves and with robbers. And those two words in English pretty much mean the same thing. The Greek words are slightly different. The thief is the one who acts by stealth. Judas is described as a thief. He's the one who was embezzling from the common purse. And then Barabbas, he's the one who's described as a robber. He's the man of violence. He's the one who engages in strong arm tactics, not stealthy tactics, but strong arm tactics. And Jesus is saying there are those deceivers who are out there exploiting the flock. There, some of them are going to seduce you with their smooth words. They're going to be eloquent. They're going to be charming. They're going to deceive you by means of flattery. They're going to, remember again, Paul's words of warning to Timothy. They're going to be those teachers who minister to the ears of people who like having their ears tickled. And then there are those who are going to be abusive. They're those who are going to be angry. There are those who are going to hurt with bullying words. You need to be on guard against them. And brothers and sisters, sadly, in Jesus' church, these are dangers that you and I need to be alert to. The sheep, Jesus is deeply concerned for his sheep. Jesus, we heard the concern of the Good Shepherd expressed through Ezekiel, that our God does not desire to see his sheep abused and bullied and mistreated and threatened and intimidated, nor does he wish to see his sheep deceived. That's why Paul makes so much of the fact that while there are those who are peddlers of God's word, Paul is one who ministers as a man of sincerity, not resorting to subterfuge, not resorting to underhand methods, but rather plainly declaring the word of Jesus. That's what you and I need to hear, the voice of those who plainly, who clearly, who lovingly and forthrightly speak the message of Jesus, the good shepherd. And the characteristic of those individuals is that they don't seek to exploit the sheep. They're not in it for what they get from it. They are there as those who follow the example of Jesus, whom you remember speaks in Mark 10, verse 45, and says, "The Son of Man also came not to be served, but to serve." As you identify good shepherds, good under shepherds, they are those who follow the footsteps of the Lord Jesus, who desire to serve you, not to exploit you, not to take advantage of you. And remember how Paul sets himself sharply in contrast with the false teachers of his day. And he does that in a number of places. One of those places is 1 Timothy 2, verse 5, where Paul says, "We never came with words of flattery, as you know, or any pretext for greed, as God is witness." Paul didn't come flattering. He didn't come seeking to exploit, to take advantage of the congregation that he was planting. No, he came as one who desired to serve for the sake of Jesus. And so Jesus sets before us here the call to be discerning, to distinguish between those who desire to serve for the sake of Jesus, who don't resort to words of flattery or deception, who don't abuse, who don't intimidate, who don't threaten or bully, but rather who seek to minister in a way that reflects the character of Jesus. And that invites a response. And Jesus speaks about that in verses 4 and 5. Listen to those verses. When that shepherd, the good shepherd, has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, because they do not know the voice of strangers. Now, the situation that Jesus describes here, and it would have been so familiar to his first hearers, maybe not so familiar to us, but the idea would be that this sheepfold that we've described, probably built out of stone, possibly topped with thorns or briars as a deterrent, it was a communal sheepfold. In other words, it wasn't my sheepfold, it wasn't your sheepfold, it was our sheepfold, it was the municipal sheepfold, it was the sheepfold that was shared by a number of shepherds. So all the sheep belonging to those shepherds would be driven in there. And of course, to your eye or mine, those sheep all look exactly alike. There they are. A whole bunch of sheep in the common fold. And Jesus says, when the shepherd comes, the shepherd calls and his own sheep recognize his voice and follow him. And apparently that was the case in Jesus' day, and in the Middle East it's still the case to this very day, that someone who is a shepherd can go to the common fold and call out to his sheep, and certain of the sheep in the common fold are going to come out, they're going to recognize his voice, they're going to come out to him, they're going to follow him. They're going to recognize the voice, they're going to respond to it. And Jesus says that this is the relationship that I have with my sheep. The sheep respond to the true sheep respond to the good shepherd. Jesus says that shepherd brings out all those who are his own. Now there is that fold with all that multitude of sheep in it. Some of those sheep belong to that shepherd. And when the shepherd comes and speaks, the ones who respond are the ones who are his own. And of course, Jesus is bringing us face to face with the mystery of electing grace at this point. Those sheep all look the same. Those sheep all behave in the same kind of way until the shepherd speaks. And then Some of the sheep separate out. And that's what that's how the scripture speaks of those who have been given to the Lord Jesus. Remember Paul's words in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. God's firm foundation stands bearing this seal. The Lord knows those who are his. The Lord Jesus knows who are his sheep, and Jesus calls to his sheep. He calls to his sheep through his word. He calls to his word through his sheep through the faithful preaching of his word. Who are those sheep? Well, we know who those sheep are by the way they respond. Because as Jesus paints the picture, there are in the fold those sheep who do not respond to the voice of the shepherd because they're not his sheep, but there are those who hear and who respond because they are his. The Lord knows those who are his. Now, if you're a Christian this evening, there is comfort for your soul. There is assurance. Jesus says in John 6, verse 35, all that the Father gives to me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. As you respond to the voice of the Savior, you can be sure that Jesus will not cast you out. And there's the response, there's the assurance, you see, that as you hear and respond, you are one of those who belong to the Lord Jesus. And again, those words from Paul to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, the Lord knows those who are his, and then the completion of it, let those who name the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. The Lord knows those who are his, and if we follow his voice and turn away, depart from iniquity, repentance and faith. As we respond with faith and repentance, we know that we belong to the shepherd. And very simply, as the gospel goes out, are you responding to the Lord Jesus? He invites, he says, whoever will, let him come. And those who belong to the Lord hear and recognize and respond. And then, of course, Jesus here speaks as the good shepherd, but Jesus appoints under-shepherds to care for his flock. There's words here for pastors and elders. They have a responsibility to care for all the sheep who are under their care, under their oversight. There's a responsibility not just to care for some of the flock, but to care for all of the flock. If you are a member of the flock of God, if you're a member of a congregation of Jesus Visible Church, it is your privilege. It is your privilege to be overseen and cared for by pastor and elders. And that is a precious privilege. It is a gift from the Lord Jesus that you be cared for as one of the sheep for whom Jesus has died. And that's why Paul encourages and exhorts the Ephesian elders that they're to pay heed to themselves and to the flock of God, which has been given to their care. And to do so, as Peter says in 1 Peter 5, verse 3, not as those who are domineering over the flock, not as those who are domineering, but being examples to the flock, not driving them on ahead. Remember, we talked about those who are the thieves and the robbers, those who bully and abuse, who intimidate and threaten, who drive the sheep out ahead of them, who stampede the sheep. Jesus says, no, the elders, the faithful under-shepherds of the flock, they are to be examples to the flock. In other words, they go ahead, and that's the imagery that Jesus uses here. The shepherd calls to his sheep, and the shepherd goes before the sheep, and the sheep follow him. And as as a pastor and elders shepherd the flock, they are to be examples to the flock, not driving the flock ahead, not cracking the whip, but rather by example, showing the flock of God how to lead godly lives. One commentator, A.T. Robertson, says that the true pastor leads in love, in words, and in deeds. That's really echoing what Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, verse 2. He says to Timothy, set an example to the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. As members of Jesus' flock, you have the privilege of having godly examples set before you. And we've already, in our morning series in Hebrews, we've already thought a little bit about Hebrews 13, verse 7, where the writer says, remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their lives and imitate their faith. Don't imitate those who are bullies. Don't imitate the intemperate, inflammatory speech of false shepherds that harasses, that threatens, that abuses, that maligns, that criticizes. Follow the example of those who set before you a reflection of the Lord Jesus, who is the Good Shepherd. Now, we live in a world where displays of power and displays of charisma and displays of influence carry a lot of weight. The scripture says you are to be influenced by those who set before you an example of Christ-like behavior. Follow that example. And Paul says, you remember how Paul says, follow, be imitators of me as I imitate Christ. That's what we're to do. We respond to those kinds of examples because we see Christ reflected in them. And then lastly, in verse 6, the need to receive the shepherd. And Jesus is speaking here to Pharisees. Remember that we've traced the connection between chapter 9 and chapter 10 when Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, Jesus is not, we're not talking about something completely different now. Jesus is still in that same place where we left him at the end of chapter 9. He's engaging with Pharisees. These are teachers in Israel. These are shepherds of Israel. And in verse 6 of John chapter 10, Jesus says this figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. They found it absolutely incomprehensible. A little bit like Nicodemus before them. And remember Nicodemus coming to Jesus by night with questions. And Jesus in John 3 verse 10 responding to Nicodemus and saying, are you a teacher in Israel and yet you do not understand these things? And of course we know that later on Nicodemus came to understand, but here he was a teacher in Israel and a distinguished teacher in Israel at that. And as Jesus spoke to him, what Jesus was saying was incomprehensible and unfathomable to him. And of course, Paul tells us that without the working of the Holy Spirit for any of us, the words of Jesus would be incomprehensible, they would seem irrelevant, and we would not hear them with faith. Paul writes to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 14, the natural person does not accept the things that are of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. He is not able to understand them. And maybe you've talked with someone, maybe you've shared your faith with someone, and they've just not got it. Well, I want you to be encouraged because Jesus just spoke with these Pharisees and they didn't get it. And with that, remember that you and I, as we are called to be witnesses, we're not called to make converts. We're called to bear witness. It's the Holy Spirit who causes the word of truth to find a place in people's hearts. It's the Holy Spirit who brings that dawning of comprehension so that people see and understand and realize this is the Good Shepherd. These Pharisees at the end of chapter 9 and verse 40 saying to Jesus, are we also blind? And here's the answer to that question. In chapter 10, verse 6, Jesus speaks to them about the Good Shepherd and they don't get it. Yes, they are false shepherds and they are blind. And Jesus has power to open blind eyes. That's what John chapter 9 tells us. And you see, here's the wonderful thing. The communication of the gospel at the end of the day doesn't depend on our ability to articulate it with great clarity, with all kinds of eloquent turns of speech and great theological profundity and marvelous depth. The truth of the gospel can be communicated very clearly in very simple pictures. Here is the Good Shepherd. Is there one among us who doesn't understand the sweetness and the richness of the image that Jesus sets before us. And yet these teachers of Israel, they didn't get it. And we teach the little ones in our Sunday school classes about the Good Shepherd. We teach them about the Savior who's come into the world. We teach them about the Lamb of God who lays down his life to save sinners. And we do that with the prayer that Jesus gives understanding even to the little ones. Remember Jesus celebrating in Matthew 11, verses 25 and 26, and saying, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children, for such is your gracious will. And that's why we're so thankful that Jesus gives to us the responsibility to instruct our little ones in the ways of the Lord, to raise them in the nurture and instruction of the Lord. Because with the Savior's blessing, the message of the gospel is comprehensible even to those little ones. And we're thankful for that, whether we be little or not so little, that the Holy Spirit gives us understanding so that we say, yes, of course, this is the Good Shepherd. This is the Lamb of God. This is the one who has come into the world. And we recognize the Messiah. And I guess John Newton puts good words into the mouths of the sheep. He said, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was blind, I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you that we who were lost have been found. We thank you that we who were blind have been caused to see. We thank you for Jesus who has come to seek and to save those who are lost. And we pray that our hearts would delight to hear the voice of the shepherd, to recognize his truth, and to follow him. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing once more, now using the words of hymn number 388. Savior, again, to thy dear name we raise with one accord our parting hymn of praise. 388, will you rise to sing?